GSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hi, we're Young Liars.
I'm Javin, and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
This is The Arts Show, CJSF 90.1 FM.
Hey, hello everybody, welcome to The Art Show. This is me, your host as always, Jabe Gradowski, giving you the business about what's going on in this fine, fair, fun, fantastic city of Seoul called Vancouver for some shows. This week we have an interview, and it's with Steve Tanaka of Next Music from Tokyo Variety. If you don't know what that is, stay tuned. We'll tell you all about it at about 5:15. And we'll share with you some lovely music from Japan that you can see next week in Vancouver at the Red Gate. I'll tell you all about it again soon. Once again, this is CJ7.1 FM from Burnaby on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, which include the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and the Kwikwetlem. And we'll be back after just a few little short messages about all that jazz. Back in a second.
Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Tree Canada's National Greening Program is planting seedlings across five regions of the country: BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They plant in areas that are in need of reforestation or afforestation across Canada. Tree Canada selects sites where appropriate native species will be planted to make sure that natural forests come back to life. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Meow. Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning independent journalist Amy Goodman. Tune in to your daily progressive news, aired Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on CJSF.
Democracy Now!, where would we be without you? Hey, I have background music. Okay, so real quick, and get you in the know about a few songs, shows, dear listener, happening in our lovely area over the next 3 weeks. Next week, I am bad at words today. I woke up way too early. I went out last night. Definitely had too many pale ales. Don't drink. Do not recommend. But had a great time doing karaoke. Anyways, that's not important. Bonnie Prince Billy is live in Vancouver tonight over at St. James Community Square at 7 p.m. It's all ages there. You can probably get some tickets at the door or buy some online. I don't know. I'm not about to explore that myself. But you can check it out. Bonnie Prince Billy at the St. James Community Square in the West Side. Next up, The Space Within is an opening night for a new art exhibition by Lee James Abbott. It's a series of works that are about relationships with friends and family and the ones with yourself. So check it out if you are in the area and looking for some cool new paintings to expose yourself to. Expose, that's a word. Should be some cool stuff over at The Slice of Life. That's at Venables and Commercial, just a little place down there. What used to be the Prop House, basically. Do you remember the Prop House? That place was just full of lamps. Great sound in there. I used to do some Music Waste stuff in there. I thought I saw Cassianetas there for Music Waste 1 year. I was like, how did we get Cassianetas? That's wild. Anyways, I miss the Prop House, but Slice of Life is cool too. Check out the new works there for The Space Within. Also in the mix, we got Multnomah That Russian band that you see in all those TikToks, well, here rather, they're doing the thing over at the Harbor Event and Convention Center, basically the old Plaza of Nations, just out there on the False Creek there. So go check it out. People who saw Death Grips went there last week. So, the place is popping off. Check it out, Multidoma. You probably know more about it than I do. Next up, the Brahminkind with Quasi Cosm and Math Bat are doing the thing over at 648 Kingsway. Check it out. They have, quote, side effects include ecstatic dance, thoughtful introspection, and uncontrollable laughter. So your sides are gonna split, your feet are gonna hurt, and your brain's gonna hurt. All in the name of a good time. Sounds like my kind of party. Check it out. That's Doors O'Clock. Doors at 7 for that one. $15, pay what you can. Again, for the Brahminkind, Quasi Cosm, and Math Bat at 648 Kingsway, Friday night. Mulch of the Domas tonight at 9 o'clock, by the way. Okay. One more. I mean, Verboten's taking place over this weekend here, so there's a crap ton of things today. 3 days, 30 artists, multiple venues. Let There Be Dark is their line this year. So go check it out. If you're into Dark Wave and stuff like that and you don't already know about this, go check out Verboten Fest. A lot of great acts from all over for that one there. So if you like your EBM, your Cold Wave, your Dark Wave, your goth music, your post-punk, this is the spot. Check it out. Going on 6 years or so of actual, obviously COVID slowed things down. We talked last year about it with Rob. Okay, I'm going to give you some music in your ear holes that is not the Far Side instrumental tapes. And we're going to hear some music from Quasi Cosm. This is going to be their song, Ejecta.
Yeah.
Well, that ended a little abruptly. Anyways, that was Ejecta from Quasicosm off their Quasicosm album. They're playing at 648 Kingsway. But when I hear you asking, when I hear you screaming at the radio, that's Friday night, 7 p.m. Next up, we have some music from, who's it going to be? It's going to be Pleasure Venom. They're playing with Ringo's Death Star at the Wise Hall tomorrow, Friday night. Check it out. This is their song, their Pardon. This is, they're from Austin, Texas. Pleasure Venom, off their album Rebirth Return. They're playing with Ringo Death Star, La Lune, and Tall Mary on the 12th at the Wise Hall and Lounge in this fine fair city of Soka, Vancouver. Also in that mix, you heard some music again from Quasicosm. That was their song, Ejecto. They're playing at the 648 Kingsway Friday night. Be there. 7 p.m. $15, pay what you can. Ring of Death Star is, I'm sure, a reasonable amount of money. It's not all ages. It's 19 plus. Should be a cool show. Should be a cool time. Speaking of cool shows and cool times, I am going to leave you with the interview I conducted earlier today with one Stephen Tanaka, and an anesthesiologist with a hunger for Japanese music, and specifically the need to... Well, the amazing pleasure of bringing them to Vancouver, to Montreal, to Toronto, showing these artists and audiences to a good time. Anyways, I'll leave all that cool stuff to be heard in this interview. I'll be returning with you personally in half an hour. Hi, this is me, Jay Pridowski, for CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Santa Cruz University at Burnaby in British Columbia on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, which include the Skokomish, the Musqueam, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Kwikwetlem. And today, I am so stoked to once again talk to Stephen Tanaka after so many years. Since we last spoke in, I believe, 2013 or 2014 at Next Music from Tokyo at the Rickshaw with Mouse on the Keys. Steve Tanaka back with another Next Music from Tokyo after the whole, you know, COVID thing. Hello, welcome.
Welcome. I'm happy to be here. Sorry. Yeah, I'm just as stoked as you to be able to talk about the tour.
Yeah, it's I remember I was kind of ambiently thinking about it a little bit a few months before I messaged you. I was like, I wonder if this is going to be happening, and is it going to happen? It's like, oh, it's happening. Oh, it's happening at Redgate. Terrific. This is all coming together. This is a beautiful serendipity of it all.
Do you know Elliot Langford? He used to be an SSRI.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good buddy of mine.
He works at Redgate as well. So he recommended the venue to me because there's a shows that we used to do in Toronto at a place called Soy Bomb,
mm-hmm.
and that had a really cool atmosphere. It was really sort of an underground kind of venue, and we wanted to bring that same vibe to Vancouver, and Elliot suggested that we should definitely hold a show at Redgate.
Yeah, you're going to love it. So for those unfamiliar, Next Music from Tokyo, a long-running series bankrolled by the lovely Stephen Tanaka, is a series of concerts where you go to Tokyo and you find a bunch of terrific acts and you bring them across. I love that great big Pacific Ocean from everyone's favorite island nation, Japan, of course, giving folks across Canada a glimpse into the vibrant world of Japanese contemporary underground acts that range from progressive jazz, rock, post-hardcore, shoegaze, polka, electronic pop, and math rock, and more genres that you can probably shake a stick at, because the wonderful world of Japanese fusion music is wide and wonderful. Your passion to keep touring acts in Canada, such as the ones you brought over for all these years, fresh and giving us all a good look at what's going on in the rest of the world, has been an exciting color to our lovely mosaic of music that's been coming our way over the last many years. And seeing it come back after the whole COVID thing is a delight to see. So before we jump into what's going on for this year, let's jump back a little bit here to 2019. Before everything got all weird, treated us to another fantastic show here in Vancouver. You're featuring more Japanese post-hardcore pop and rap and stuff like that. Can you take us back to that night here here in Vancouver in 2019?
I think so. We would have been at the Biltmore, and I think the five bands that we brought, I'm just looking at my computer right now so I can remind myself, but it was Stereo Girl, who play, I don't know, I always, one of my favorite bands that I've, over all the years that I've brought, one of my favorites is Kinoko Teikoku. They kind of have a really emo shoegaze sound,
mm-hmm.
With a female vocalist, and they broke up, so I've always looking for sort of a replacement for them. And Stereo Girl was sort of the closest thing to Kinoko Teikoku, and I really liked their music, so that's why I sort of easily gravitated to their music and decided I for sure want to bring them to Canada. So that was Stereo Girl. And Tam Tam, they've changed their style a lot over the years. They started off as sort of doing dub, and then they went over to kind of shoegaze, and now it's really kind of eclectic mix of various genres. And they were an interesting band that when I saw them live, I was really impressed, so I decided to bring them. So Stereo Girl, Tam Tam, and then Imai, he's one half of a duo that's sort of in hiatus called Group Ino.
Yeah, that was
he's sort of the DJ. Yeah,
that was one of the first acts I saw way back then. Group Ino.
Yeah, with Mouse on the Keys. Yeah,
yeah, that was
a
legendary
tour for sure. And I've always wanted to bring Group Ino again, but they're so on hiatus, so I thought the closest thing would be to bring Imai, one half of the group, and he definitely has that sort of very similar sound when he DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kogo no Graikos. It's a three-piece with a drummer that sings, and they've got it's a hard sort of sound to describe, but they're also involved a bit of dub, and but they go into sort of raging, almost punk hardcore, and it's the sort of the ebbs and flows in their music. You never know when it's gonna change styles, and it's kind of really fresh original sound.
So that's why the old switcheroo.
And then, even though I'm not, I'm going to be honest, I'm not really a fan of idol music, it is sort of an important part of the scene in Japan. I felt this group, Kote Camera Girl, Dry, anyways, they're probably my favorite, like, a group in the idol scene, particularly because the producers make excellent, like, music for them. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to have some representation of the idol scene, and they were my favorite group at the time, and that's why I chose them.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, I try to bring a good mix of what's going on in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be hard to pick everybody. I mean, just a few acts every year to come over. Yeah. Like all the acts I've ever heard out of Japan just go so hard. Like there's no middle ground. It's either like they just go hard in the paint every time. Like there's no relaxing. Yeah. It's always amazing. Back then, you know, obviously we didn't know things were changing. So, for entering the pandemic here, so how did you keep your kind of passion for keeping up with the Japanese music scene, you know, alive working well? I mean, you probably were very busy as your doctor, uh-huh. But how did you keep up with the music scene while things were a little different for a few years?
Well, basically, I wasn't able to travel to Japan for a good 3 years. But I still have friends in Japan that would sort of keep me, informed of like acts that I should be watching, and still that like you could actually watch shows performed on YouTube when the venues were sort of closed to live audiences. The bands would actually play at the venues and live stream their shows. So like, I got a chance to see some concerts that way, but definitely like I feel like I'm behind in terms of like knowing like you know who the cool bands are right now, just because I you know it had been like about a 3 year lapse where I wasn't watching any shows in Japan, but I tried my best to keep informed of what's going on in the scene.
Well, I'm glad you had some boots on the ground over there keeping you in the loop. A lot of places had some sort of idea like that for a long time to, you know, get a streaming of their shows going. But COVID, for better or for worse, made that available.
Yeah.
So that's something to, be stoked on. Silver linings, right? Now we brings us now to 2023, 4 years since the last one. You used to be doing two of them a year, one in the spring and one in the fall.
Yeah. And I also have like a bit of bad news, like, for now, I'm considering this the last tour. You know, things can change. I feel like the type of bands that I like and the music that I like, they're getting like fewer and far between, where like it seems like more bands now are treating music definitely more as a hobby, not something that they're going to really realistically try to get a career from, where they make the run of their money from music. Mm-hmm. So even like the four or the five bands that I'm bringing this year, the number of shows that they do a year are pretty sparse. So it's definitely more they're treating it as a hobby. They're still great bands. It's definitely worth coming out to watch them. But other than The Hatch, they're playing festivals all the time. They're like doing shows like as much as possible. So they're a legit sort of like, you know, professional music band. The other four are more of doing it as a hobby, but they're great bands. And I feel like just the scene in general in Japan right now is like more of the bands that I like are sort of focusing a little bit more on their careers, like in terms of like, you know, outside of music, and treating doing shows as more of a hobby right now. Mm-hmm. So, and I felt, yeah, it's hard for me to do it for sure twice a year. And then I felt I kind of needed a break, treating this as the last one. Like, definitely open. If I find enough bands that I really like that I want to bring to Canada, I'll do this again. But like for now, like I'm treating this as like the last next music from Tokyo tour.
Well, that is, I mean, that's a sad news, but it is what it is. But you've done an incredible service to, you know, bringing to everybody who you've brought all these bands out to. So, I mean, if I could give you the Order of Canada, I would.
But yeah, the other thing is that it's really big on a lot of expensive. So like, if I do this again, like I'll probably bring like two or three acts, and then maybe do, if they're, you know, depending on the schedule, like maybe we'll do shows with like a local act as well too. I think doing five, even just like making the time in one night to have five bands perform is pretty hectic. So I think even just from a logistical standpoint, I should probably stick to like two or three bands. And then in terms of monetary reasons, with the inflation and everything, I think I should just sort of bring two or three bands if I do this again.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, five bands is a big bill, so people are going to definitely have a lot to enjoy this time around. So this may be the one for quite some time. So let's get excited about it here. We've got the Hatch, Heliotrope.
Yeah.
Arigana Mon Friends, Bat Rokika, Metal Summer Jacket, and Furutori.
Furutori.
You mentioned the Hatch off the top there as a bit more I guess professional band.
One of the hottest bands in Japan as far as the underground scene goes. Like obviously, like they're not going to compare to mainstream acts, but in terms of like all the festivals are trying to get the Hatch to get on their bill, and I would compare them. So people who are fans of like Japanese music, I would compare them to sort of like Toe or Envy, like in terms of being like sort of the new guard in terms of like who the coolest like indie underground act is in Japan right now.
I've also never seen a trombone in like a hardcore band.
Yeah.
So this is pretty something else.
You know, the reason, I don't know if you know too much about like sort of like the older hardcore scene, but like the reason why they chose the name The Hatch is because their favorite band, like the bassist who was sort of the original like leader of the band, like his favorite band was The Locust. So that's why he wanted a band name that sounded like The Locust, so he chose The Hatch. And so he was like heavily into like sort of San Diego hardcore, like Click Attack, Ikatawi, and the bands like that. But they started off as like really fast, like hardcore, and they went all crazy at shows, but now they sort of toned down, matured, and developed more of like a dark kind of jazzy sound, but they still go pretty heavy, and they play their older songs, which are really fast as well.
So they're not quite in their yacht rock phase.
Yeah.
Well, sick. Yeah, that's gonna be wild to see.
Yeah, you should definitely catch The Hatch. They're going on last, so if you can't make the show up from the beginning, at least I can like let you know that basically The Hatch go on last around 11 p.m. or so.
So we got four more bands to check out here. Yeah. We got Heliotrope as well here, a three-piece coming with more a kind of piano-driven post-hardcore with the woman singing in the front there.
All three members used to be, or maybe still are, involved in sort of like a hardcore scene. Like the singer, she used to be like in a screamo band, but like now she like after sort of like more post-hardcore, where they all matured, played their instruments a lot better, and they focus on making more serious music. So you can definitely tell sort of like the aggressiveness of like punk hardcore in their music, especially with the drumming. Their music would be almost similar to Mouse on the Keys in terms of like having a nice sort of contemporary and sophisticated feel to it. I think they're gonna, they're a band that maybe not too many people are like going to see initially, but then they'll be really impressed when they see them live.
Oh yeah, it's a package deal, folks. Gotta check them all out. It's like a sweet cheese board of all your favorite music that you haven't heard yet. It's like the fancy cheese you haven't had an opportunity to try yet. Next up, we have Arigaman Friends, members of a previous band you brought over that was one of the biggest bands in Japan at the time. Pens, yeah.
When Pens went on hiatus, they had no, like, Pens is back together now, playing music sort of sparsely. Again, it's more of like they're doing music out of just like as a hobby. They're not really serious about like trying to like make a lot of like, you know, albums growing their fan base or anything. They're just sort of making music at their own pace. The same as Aragon Friends. When Pens went on hiatus, the guitarist decided that he still wanted to continue to make music. He invited his friends. That's where Aragon Friends, the friends aspect comes from. And all the members of Pens, their favorite band was probably a group called Algernon Cadwallader. And so that's where Aragon sounds like basically it's this mouse, the guitarist's surname, which is Ariga, but they made it, he twisted it around so it sounds kind of like Algernon. So it's Aragon Friends. So that's the long-winded way to describe how they came up with the name.
Yeah.
But they sound very similar to Pens, kind of like mathy, Midwest emo. So, like, the drums and the guitars are insane. Like, they shred like crazy, but it's very melodic.
Yeah, you got those bright guitar leads and everything.
Yeah. So if you like Pens, basically, in a nutshell, if you go on YouTube and do a search on Pens, and if you like their music, because there's probably a lot more of videos of them around compared to Eric and our friends. But yeah, I think if you're a fan of just like great guitars and drums, then you'll like Eric and our friends.
Two more to go. We got Batorica, Metal...
Batroika, Metal Summer Jacket. Yeah.
Very wordy.
I have no idea why. I have no clue why they chose that name.